Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for spending a little time with me. I'm honored that you chose to listen to this program, and I hope you'll last the entire half hour I'm going to be here. I hope you could stick around with me. This week we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, I have to be honest with you, as I always say a little prayer before I begin looking at the readings before the show, and I ask the Holy Spirit to give me a theme. And in this case, the readings this week, I know what the Lord is trying to say. At least I think I know what he's trying to say through these readings. But I struggled to come up with a concise title. But here's what I came up with. All are welcome. All are welcome to participate in the kingdom of God and ultimately participate in the kingdom of heaven once we leave this earthly life. All are welcome. Nobody is excluded. But, and here's the tricky thing, none of us should take our membership in God's kingdom for granted. And I think that can happen sometimes. And that's why these readings today are, I believe, are a good reminder for us to stay alert, to not take it for granted, to be grateful for the fact that God created us and that he accepted us into his family and he reserved a place for us in heaven. Does that mean we can't mess it up? No, it doesn't mean we can't mess it up. We absolutely can. But if we follow him sincerely and try to do our best with the help of his grace and really lean on him and his grace, we'll end up in heaven. I mean, I don't want to make it sound too simplistic, but it is really simple. It's a very simple concept. If we follow the Lord, do his will, and when we mess up, seek forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation. If we do that, we're going to be okay and we'll make it to heaven. I think so many times we overcomplicate what it takes to be saved. You know, I don't want to, it's not complicated. It's difficult to live out sometimes, but it's not a complicated, concept. Basically, follow the Lord, do his will, and, you know, you're going to get there. So anyway, let's talk about this today. All are welcome. Before we do that, I'm going to start this program as I always do. We're going to remember that, I invite you to remember that you and I, we're in the presence of Almighty God right now. Our Heavenly Father who loves us, who is hearing us, who is seeing us, and who is bigger than any problem we could ever face. So if you'll join me now, let's kick this show off with prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being with us. You know, Father, wherever we go, you're there. We lose sight of that sometimes. We get distracted with other things. We get, we get focused on ourselves. We get focused on earthly matters. And we forget about you, but that doesn't mean you are not there. So we're going to be intentional now and call to mind the fact that we are in your presence and that you are waiting to hear from us. So we want to praise you, Father. We want to praise you for all the great things you have done throughout history and in our own lives. We want to praise you for the fact that you are all-powerful, that you are pure love, that you never do anything that's not intentional, and that doesn't involve loving your creatures, or more importantly, your children. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have received from your hand. The fact that we're alive implies that you took care of all of our needs from the time we were first conceived. Any enjoyment we've ever experienced comes from you. We thank you for that. Any suffering that you allowed us to experience, we want to thank you for that as well, Father, even though it's hard to say those words. We acknowledge the fact that when we are in a situation that causes us to suffer, we're given the opportunity to unite our suffering with the suffering of Jesus, your Son, to be closer to your Son. We also recognize that suffering can purify us, can detach us from the many things we get attached to in this life and help us to grow closer to you. And Father, we, in addition to praising you and to thanking you, we want to just say we're sorry for anything we have done recently which offended you. Father, if you would, please bring to mind any issues that need to be corrected in our lives so that we can more closely resemble your Son, Jesus, and follow you. Finally, Father, we pray for our needs. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for all those who are suffering in the world. We pray for our country. We pray for all around the world who are dealing with many situations. We pray for world peace. We pray for our church. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for all of our separated Christian brothers and sisters. We pray for unity in our Catholic Church and among Christian denominations as well, Father. I know you want us to be united. That's what Jesus said anyway. So we pray that that can happen. Please let us know what we can do, even if it seems very small. Let us know what we can do to bring unity into our church and, for that matter, into our world. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We especially lift up those souls who have no one to pray for them or for our deceased family members and friends. We pray for those who are looking for work, especially those who are unemployed at the moment. We pray for the homeless, the homebound, those living in hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, rehab facilities. We pray for all of those who have asked for our prayers. We pray for those who for whom we promised to pray, and maybe have forgotten about. Father, we pray for an increased awareness of your love. Sometimes we just don't appreciate the fact that you love us unconditionally. Help us to better appreciate that love. Father, give me the words as I do this program today. Give me the words, give me the message so I could share the message that you want me to share and not my own message. And finally, Father, open up all of our hearts and all of our minds to hear your message today and to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. We do this program each week for 30 minutes as we look at the Mass readings for the particular week. This week we're on the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, a couple of things before we start the Mass readings. I mentioned to you that my new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, is now available. And what I'll be doing is each week before we look at the Mass readings, I'll just read a little bit from one of the chapters and give you an idea of what the book is all about. If you want to find out more about the book, purchase a copy, invite me to speak at your church, or subscribe to my daily email reflection, which is free of charge. You can do all that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. So last week we talked about the introduction of the book, Lord Save Me. Now this week, and what I did is in each chapter, I cover a different theme, a different anxiety-producing theme. This week, we're going to look at chapter one, When You Feel Doubtful or Uncertain. And here's the little paragraph I wrote at the beginning of the chapter. At one time or another, it's common to feel doubt about the uncertainty of life. Even Christians are not exempt from this dilemma, because faith requires a conscious decision to believe in things unseen and unverifiable by our senses. There are numerous occasions for us to doubt that God is in control, whether it's momentary or of a longer duration. Doubt can and should be addressed. As the following reflections will demonstrate, however, addressing doubt can actually lead to a stronger faith in God. So what I'm going to do this week is just look at the very first Bible verse and reflection in the book from Hebrews 11:8. And here's what that particular verse says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. You know, this is a great example for us. Abraham's a great biblical figure, and I really admire him, and I've learned a lot from his life. Abraham was called by God. This is the point in the book of Genesis when God decided It's time to found a church. It's time to create a church. He starts, first he's going to start by forming the chosen people. And he did that by calling Abraham. And as this verse in the letter to the Hebrews says, Abraham went out when God called him, even though he didn't know where to go. Let's face it, you and I, we face this every day, don't we? Every day, we don't know for sure what the day is going to bring. We might have an idea, but at the beginning of the day, none of us know for sure what's going to happen. So what we can choose to do by faith, and you know, faith, there's uncertainty involved, at least uncertainty in our minds is involved when it comes to faith. Faith implies that we are going to take the word of someone else. Now, Christian faith means we're going to take God's word. We're going to choose to believe that what he has revealed is true and that he's trustworthy. Ultimately, that's what it means to exercise our faith. Now, faith is also the capacity to do that. Faith is a gift that we receive at baptism, which enables us to believe some pretty difficult to believe things. But we have to choose, if we want, to step out in faith and say, okay, yes, I choose to believe this. Can I verify it with my senses? No. Do I have a guarantee that this is going to work out? No. I mean, other than the word of the Lord. But, you know, we don't know for sure if what we're undertaking or what we're about to enter into is his will. We can be sure if we're involved in any kind of situation that we didn't ask for. A sickness, unemployment, financial difficulties, a difficult family or a relationship with a friend. Something that didn't work out, you know, the negative things that we just didn't expect. We have to remember that even though God doesn't will evil, nothing can happen without his permission. And sometimes he allows things to happen to help us. You know, it's not easy to accept that, but that's the truth. So by faith, we can say, look, I didn't ask for this illness. I don't especially like it. But Father God, I trust you. I'm going to choose to, like Abraham, to follow where you lead me. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to trust you. And I know you sent Jesus into the world to walk with us, to redeem us, and to allow us to be adopted by you, Father. So I'm going to hold the hand of Jesus, and together we're going to get through this problem. That's an Abraham-like attitude. You can't control the situation, but you go along with it, or even better, you embrace it. I embrace this cross. Doesn't mean you're going to be happy about it. I mean, bad suffering is not fun. But through Jesus Christ and through trust in our loving Heavenly Father, suffering can be transformed and you can find peace in the midst of that suffering. So don't get down on yourself if you doubt or if you're uncertain about a situation you're in, or even about your relationship with God or your Father. Does he really love me? Does my Father God really love me? Talk to him about it. Because sometimes, as I said in that first reflection, sometimes doubt or uncertainty, if you take it up with the Lord, it's going to lead you into a closer relationship with him. Again, that's the reflection for this week from Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement, When Life Feels Hard, my latest book. FollowingTheTruth.com is the place to go to get yourself a copy or find out more about any of my books. All right, let's get to the readings now. 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. All are welcome. That's the theme. We're going to start with the gospel as we always do. This week, it's Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and we drank in your company. You taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first who will be last. All right, so in this gospel, what we see is basically Jesus saying to us, because these gospel passages, they're addressed to us as disciples of Jesus, as Christians. He's saying, don't think that just because you're hanging out with me and you're in my presence, don't think automatically that you're going to get to heaven. Now, look, I'm not saying this to scare you, but Jesus is a very realistic person. He tells it like it is, which is a great thing. He doesn't sugarcoat his message. He's not kidding us. What he's doing is he's reminding us that, yeah, he's going to give us the grace to get to heaven. We have every reason, through the virtue of hope, to believe that it's going to happen. We'll get there. But we need to cooperate with his grace. In other words, we need to take the grace he gives us and do something with it. And that's how we're going to make it to heaven. We can't get to heaven on our own merit. We're getting there on the merit of Jesus Christ, but he expects us to cooperate with that. In other words, you don't just read about loving other people. You put it into practice. You don't just know about Jesus. You know Jesus, and you obey him, right? See that? There's something that we have to do. And we need to remember that just because we're Catholic or just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're automatically going to get a free pass into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You know, a lot of people live a pretty evil life, and they have a conversion at some point in time. They might have a better chance of getting to heaven than somebody who went to church every week. It's really it's a tough message, but I think it's one that I need to be reminded of. I did this for years. I went through the motions. Do I still go through the motions? Probably more than I would like to admit, to be totally honest with you. But I understand I need to work on it. And it's a gradual process, so don't beat yourself up, but just try with the help of the Lord's grace to make sure your heart is in the right place, that you're accepting your suffering, that you're going out and trying to love other people. You don't even have to like them. You just have to love them. You have to want what's best for them. And sometimes it's just a matter of praying for them. You might not even have contact with them or be in their presence, or maybe they don't want anything to do with you. Nobody can stop you from praying for them. We need to respond by faith with actions. That's what Jesus is saying. And don't think that just because you go to Mass each week that you're going to make it to heaven. And again, I sound really harsh today. I hope you don't, you know, I hope it doesn't freak you out, but I got to be honest, it's the truth. We don't want to feel superior to somebody else and think that we've got a better shot just because we're in the presence of Jesus. According to what he's saying, that's not the case. If we're in the presence of Jesus, however, and listen to him, have a relationship with him and listen to him, and then put into practice what he tells us, that's a whole different story. Then we're going to make it to heaven without a doubt. Going through the motions doesn't work when it comes to your salvation. All right, let's look at it. I sound tough today, don't I? But it's the truth. These are tough readings. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 18 through 21. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put and Lud, Mosuk, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord on horses and on chariots, and carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem. My holy mountain, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels, some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. Basically, you know, we've got this general idea being formed, and this is the Old Testament. This is before Jesus came on the scene, that right now, initially, the Lord is dealing with the chosen people, the Israelites. But his ultimate goal is to expand through the church, God's family, to all the nations. And that would happen gradually. So it's not, you did not need to be an Israelite. You do not need to be an Israelite to be accepted into God's kingdom. And that's a good thing, because I'm not Jewish, right? So the family of God, the invitation goes out to every country in all of the world. And it's up to us to make sure people are invited to join us in worshiping God in his one true church. That begins not with whipping out the Bible and spewing verses, but it begins with being kind to people, being welcoming, because all are welcome. That's challenging sometimes. I know that. Some people don't make it easy. But Christianity is not easy. With the help of God's grace, it gets easier, but it's still difficult. Because people are going to be people. That goes for me, and it goes for the people I'm trying to speak with. You know, I'm always not the kindest person to people, especially when we start arguing. And I don't get into very many arguments. The Lord hasn't done that to me very much. He hasn't put me in too many positions where I'm trying to convince unbelievers about the faith. But maybe you have. Maybe you've got some people around you who really don't know God or don't want to know God. If you're not a kind person, if you're not welcoming, they're probably not going to want to pursue Christianity. Just keep it in mind. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. That doesn't mean there's not going to be times when you have to be tough. Sometimes you will. But initially, the way to attract people is to be a loving person. That's why people were so attracted to Jesus. He always welcomed everybody. He didn't exclude anybody. He was kind but firm. Sometimes in the beginning, you got to be especially kind. And that's where the Holy Spirit can help you to be prudent, to know when to hold back, and to know when to push forward. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 117, go out to all the world and tell the good news. See, there's that further message that all are welcome. Let everybody know about Jesus. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples, for steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. The responsorial psalm was short today, but essentially the message is, let everybody know about Jesus and about his church. Sometimes it's just, well, you know, you start by being nice, you start by and kind, you smile at somebody. And maybe just tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. Because everybody, you always ask somebody how they're doing. Somebody eventually says, I'm struggling with this or that, or some illness or finances, or I'm frustrated today. Hey, I'll say prayer for you. Give that a try. That's oftentimes the initial invitation. Let's look at the second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain, yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed but healed. And I, you know, sometimes it's a challenge to fit these second readings into the theme of the week of the gospel and the first reading and the psalm, because the second reading is not in ordinary time specifically chosen to match the others. It just proceeds sequentially. But what I'm seeing here, you know, is we talked about nothing is guaranteed, and I addressed it a little bit in the prayer, meaning our salvation, but I addressed it a little bit in the prayer that suffering is often God's means of drawing us closer to Him and making sure that we go to heaven. In this letter to the Hebrews, we're seeing a reminder of that. Trials can be discipline. God often disciplines us, and everybody hates that word, but look, we need help because we tend to stray. And at the time, it doesn't seem like a cause for joy, but later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness through those who are trained by it. I need discipline because I tend to run away from suffering. I tend to love comfort. But sometimes the Lord, in order for me to exercise my faith and step out and trust Him instead of trusting myself, He needs to allow me to get into situations where I realize that I need Him. So when I hear this reading, when I read these words, I'm reminded of the fact that, yeah, everybody's invited to heaven, to God's kingdom, but in order for us to make that a reality, in order for me to actually get to the kingdom of heaven one day, I'm going to have to do things or respond to God's grace in a way that carries out His will. And there is no better situation or opportunity, is probably a better word for that, than in suffering. Because that's when we realize we cannot fix our problem. And that's when we need God. Some people go the other way and just completely shut them off and say, I don't, that's not fair. God's mean. I don't like Him. Forget it. But so many others embrace suffering as a means to grow closer to the Lord. So just remember the message this week. Everyone is welcome, including you and me. But don't think that this is just a matter of going to church every week. Yes, God commands us to do that through His church. But we've got to do more than that. We've got to be there and practice our faith with our heart, inside and outside of the church. God bless you. Thank you for listening. See you next time.